I can say tonight that there's never been a boring minute serving God. That's for sure. Whoever said the Christian life is boring didn't know what the Christian life is. Boring's the last word. I could live three lives 24 hours a day and never get done what just I see needs to be done. And there's all kinds of stuff you can do. And Paul had an exciting life, to say the least. All of it wasn't too good. But the thing I want you to notice about this man was that he stood for God through it all. What the world needs to see tonight is some young people and moms and dads too that'll just stand right there and just stand right there and just stand right there and don't move. Don't move. He said, talk about all this bad stuff happened to him. And then he said in verse 24, but none of these things, see that? Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take to you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Well, ain't many people can say that. That man said, my conscience is clear. He said, I ain't got nobody's blood dripping off my hand. You know, I was on three airplanes yesterday, and I always figure out whoever I wind up sitting beside that I should witness to them. And I sat beside some nut yesterday, and I was beginning to talk to him, and I thought, well, how am I going to talk to this guy? But I always feel real bad if I don't at least make an effort to witness. I want to be pure from the blood of men. God lets me cross paths with them people once throughout all eternity. The least I can do is hand them a tract, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, none of these things move me. I'd like to preach to you for a little while this evening on the subject, the man that nothing could move. The man that nothing could move. Paul was not wishy-washy. He went through every conceivable trial, but he stood and said, none of these things move me. Paul wasn't one day this way and one day the other way. He wasn't believed this one time you see him, and the next time you see him, he believed that, and the next time you see him, he believed something else, and the next time you saw him, he's going to another church, and the next time you saw him, he's in another denomination, and the next time you saw him, he's in another denomination, and one time, and next thing you know, he's healing the sick, and next thing you know, he's a missionary to somewhere, and the next thing you know, he was, raising dead people, and next thing you know, he is watching the Hale-Bopp comet fly through the sky, and the next thing you know, he was doing that. He's saying every time you heard it. If you heard Paul preach and then went back and heard him 10 years later, you'd hear the same thing. He said, none of these things move me. Now you know the song, I shall not be moved. Now what does it mean? Like you take your stand for God. You got to stand somewhere. You take your stand for God like this, right? Now the world is going to be pushing at you. How many of you have ever been swimming in the ocean? Raise your hand. You've been swimming in the ocean. That's just about everybody here. All you Christians went to the coast while them sinners went to the beach. The Christians went to the coast. And I never forget, I was about 16, 17, first time I ever went to the ocean. And me and some boys went down here to Myrtle Beach, and we got out there in that water. And I thought, well, I ain't never been swimming in the ocean before. So I took off and got in it. And I didn't like it. I still don't particularly care for it. It's pretty, but as far as swimming, you know, it ain't much. That sand and that salt and all that stuff is not conducive to happy swimming. And I would stand there. I mean, that's to, you know what I mean? That stuff rub you raw, man. And it's like sandpaper. But you know what? I got out. The thing that struck me the most was that it's like a big motel, like right where that big return bin is up there. And I got out there, you know, and I was fooling around and trying to catch them waves. And you learn how when the wave just breaks like that, you know, you try to ride it in and all that. And I was just sitting out there playing a little bit. About 15 minutes, I looked up and that motel was gone. I said, where is that motel? I'm dreaming, man. It was a half a mile up yonder. I thought, my soul, we've had a shift of the earth's crust. Something, that thing, it was way up there and I didn't even move. I didn't even move, I promise. I just went like this. You know how you do like this? The big wave comes and you kind of do like this. And it goes up, and then they come and you kind of do like this. You know? I mean, that's stupid. Like, but don't you do that when you get in the ocean? And you just jump up and you just kind of just float up when the wave comes and float up when the wave comes. And I thought that I was going to come in right back down in the same place. And I'm telling you, man, it wasn't 15 minutes. I was a quarter of a mile down yonder. I had to get out and walk back up. I about got lost. And you know what I found out? I found out the waves come in to the beach at an angle. And they don't come out straight in. They're all hitting just a little bit. And every time your feet goes off the ground like that, they push you just a little bit. And push you just a little bit more. You don't even realize you're moving. I mean, somebody said, hey, you're going to wind up over there. Boy, you're crazy. I'm going to stand right here and swim all day. But see, you just feet goes off the ground. Every time you ride a wave, it pushes you about that much. Here comes another and pushes you about that much. And you don't even realize it. Now, you know that's where the world is? That's where the devil is? This world will move you. Move you. Move you. And you don't even realize you're moving, man. Until one day you wake up and say, where's the Lord? Lord, he's way over yonder. How'd I get here? And you realize that the world has moved you. Now, that's why you got to look in this thing right here every day and make sure I'm right, I'm straight, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Because you can move and not mean to move. You can move and not realize you're moving. That's why you ought to go to camp meeting, revival meeting. That's why we have these meetings and bring preachers in. Because it gets you back and say, get back over here. Get in the middle. Get where you're supposed to be. I don't see how people make it. Don't ever hear no right kind of preaching. I don't see how they... I really seriously doubt. I meet people all the time. Their church is dead. It's 4 o'clock. And they're the only one that wants to do something. And they say, well, I believe I'm just here for a purpose. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how you can stay with that mess pushing on you all the time and not move. I want to know... I want to be kept in the middle where I'm supposed to be. So I want to talk to you about the man that nothing could move. Number one. You listen? Number one, quickly this evening, people could not move him. People could not move him. I tell you this evening, people will move you. Your family, your friends, people you work with. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? Oh, come on. There ain't nothing wrong with this. Come on and go with us Friday night. Oh, you're carrying it too far. If you're not careful, people will move you. But I'll tell you what they couldn't do with Paul. They couldn't disturb him. Amen? I tell you, you know what they tried to do in Philippians 3 and 13? I turned to it. You know what they done? They tried to bring up his past. And they'd come over there and they'd say, hey, I know you. You're that fella that used to have Christians put in jail. Why, you ain't nothing. I remember when you was a blasphemer. And I remember when you was that. And they tried to bring up his past. You know what this world will do? They'll try not to let you forget your past. They try to keep you from doing that. But I'll tell you what old Paul done. Paul didn't say, oh, well, you're right. I can't preach. I got a bad past. I done this and I done that. And I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I had Christians put in prison, so I reckon I'll just give up. I'm sorry, I'm not much of a Christian. You know what he done? He said, I'm not going to let people move me. He quoted them back at scripture, and he said, I'll tell you this. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but he said, this one thing I do. He said, I forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Paul said, the past is past. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I'm going to go on by the grace of God. Amen. I tell you what we ought to do tonight, brother. Let the past be the past. Forget the past and go on for God. You say, well, I got my feelings hurt. Well, get over it and go on for God anyway. You say, Brother Danny, I messed up my past. So have I. You say, Brother Danny, my past is spotted. So is mine. But my future is spotless. And I've got a future to live tonight. And I can make up my mind to not let people move me.
Don't let people move him. They couldn't disappoint him. People couldn't disappoint Paul. He wouldn't let them disappoint. He said, I am not going to let you disappoint me. You know, I know a lot of preachers that they allow people to disappoint them. And that's easy to do when you're in the ministry. Boy, you try and try and try to get something ready for people and they don't show up. Or they don't bring their teenagers and the kids. You know what? I saw a bunch of our kids walking in. Didn't even come to Sunday school this morning. Saw them coming in the door over there. You know what? I'm glad I can't look at that. When I think about that, things, good night, man. They don't know no better than that. Work all week. Try to have something good for them on Sunday. And them laying in the bed like a bunch of big sows and dogs laying in there and dragging here and by the way. And some of them probably didn't even make it to preaching service. I tell you what, brother. You know what? Paul said, I am not going to let that move me. He said, I'm going to go on anyway. I'm going to serve God and please Him. You know how to do that? By the way, you know how not to let people move you like that? Is do what you do for the Lord and not for them to start with. See, if you're serving God, my philosophy, and y'all know my philosophy. People ask me all the time, they say, Brother Danny, how did you just keep your head up? You're going through all your troubles and everything like that. Here's my philosophy. Expect the worst. You say, that ain't your philosophy. Hush, I'm telling you what my philosophy is. Expect the worst. And you'll be right most of the time. Hope for the best. Take what comes and keep your mouth shut and thank God you ain't in hell. Amen? Yeah, well, these people are just so disappointed. I'm just so disappointed. If you expect the worst, man, you can't never be disappointed. Because no matter how bad it is, you can say, well, ain't as bad as I thought it'd be. I mean, and that's the way you do. I think something terrible is going to happen all the time. Every time I get on a plane, I think it's going to crash. And then I get off, I think, glory to God, hallelujah. And I got on some bad ones. All three, one from Colorado Springs to Dallas was about an hour and a half. And then the other one from Dallas to Atlanta was another hour and a half. I traveled 12 hours yesterday and lost 3 hours, two in time change and one with a clock bump up. And I'm telling you, and every one of them was just like this. Every flight was like this. Like that. And there's people going, whoo, like that, you know, and the stewardess couldn't hardly walk. They said it was bumpy. I mean, it was like wind chop, and it was just like this. I mean, you just had to sit there. I had to hold a seat in front of me, man, because there were people getting sick, buddy. I seen this guy right beside me. I thought I should witness to him because he's reading this weird-looking book, and I tried to witness to him, couldn't find out he's a Presbyterian, some kind of preacher or something like that, going to some retreat, and I saw him, he pull out this barf bag. Out of the back of the seat. I said, buddy, you put that thing up to your mouth and I am getting out of here. Because you start blowing up chunks, 400 miles an hour, all of them ain't going to go in that little bitty bag. And he pulled it out. He pulled it out like that. And I thought, oh, I don't want to get sick. I'm not going to get sick. I'm not getting sick. You ever done that? I'm not getting sick. I am not going to get sick. And all I'd eat was Nestle's Crunch and a bunch of, I think some corn nuts or something like that. Just junk, man, just junk. And I thought, Lord, I can't, but how in the world I get off on all that? Oh, I was talking about that choppy plane ride. It's up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down like that. But you know what? If you think it's going to crash, then that ain't so bad. Amen? I'd rather get puke on me than my guts be splattered out all over the ground somewhere. So, you know how to not be disappointed is expect the worst. It may not work for you, but it does me. Paul said, I will not. I will not let them move me. They could not discourage him because he pleased God, not people. Listen, folks. Have you not learned this yet? I think I need to remind some of you. In going to church and serving God, now listen, boys and girls, listen. Everybody listen now. This is going to be tough on some of you, but you've got to get this. Listen, everything ain't always going to go like you want it to go. Fundamental lesson of the Christian life, number one, it don't always go like you want it to go. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get talked about. I mean, you're going, which one of y'all won't spit on? Was it you? Okay. I mean, I'll tell you what. You're going to get it. You're going to get talked about. You're going to get made fun of. You're going to get lied about. You're going to find out that one of the other women said something about you. Just expect it. I mean, it's going to happen. Don't let it move you. Hey, there's probably 50 people sitting at home tonight that used to go to this church regular, but they let people. You say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I just went down there and I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you why I quit. Oh, quit your whining, man. You ain't in hell, are you? Thank God you're able to get up and come to church. Shut your mouth. Get in here and worship like a person's supposed to. You say, well, you don't know what happened to me. Oh, hush, man. Thank God you're not in hell. And praise God for what he's done for you. Quit your crying. I mean, toughen up a little bit. Some things you just can't help. You heard that story I told you before. Little boy, little Indian boy come to his daddy. He said, Daddy, it's not fair. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, the names you give us, we have to live with all our life. He said, how come we have to have names like this? And the Indian daddy said, now, son, he said, now what we do, he said, when your mama gives birth to one of you little Indian kids, said, you know, whenever she comes out of the tent, or we come out of the tent, she don't, and you're born, and whatever the first thing we see is, and that's what we name you. And that's why your brother's name Running Bear, and your sister's name Flowing Brook, and the little boy said, oh, he said, now do you understand, Puking Dog? You see, there's just some things you can't help, man. Tough apples, brother. That's just the way the snow drifts. You know what's wrong with Americans? Can I tell you what's wrong with Americans? We think nobody's ever... I don't know if this is right or not, but I just thought about it the other day. I really don't know if this is right or not, but I think we think if a natural disaster hits and stuff, that the government's supposed to build everybody's house back and all of that. You know, there is such a thing as just tough luck, man. And I mean, I hope that don't happen here. I hope we don't have nothing. I mean, I believe you ought to have insurance, but it's probably right that insurance should just cover part of the coming. There's got to be some allowance for bad, just tough apples. Sometimes you got to get disappointed. Sometimes you got to get hurt. Everything can't go your way. Listen, there are people in this world tonight. If they come in here tonight, heard that choir sing, heard these kids sing, sat on those pews y'all were sitting on, saw these lights set in this atmosphere, they'd think they died and went to heaven. Hey, you hear me tonight? We ought to be thanking God and not let people move us. Sure, they try to move you. Don't let people move you. Number two, persecution could not move him. He got persecuted. Now I'll say three things about persecution. First, the reason for persecution. Why does a man get persecuted? Because he obeyed God. And that's what he said. If he ain't doing right, you ain't going to get persecuted. If you're doing right, you're going to get persecuted. If you ain't getting persecuted, you're not doing right. What does the Bible say? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're not doing right. People say, well, Brother Denny, how come our church gets talked about and we get slammed and people ridicule us? Well, for two reasons. We're trying to do right, and number two, they're jealous. That's the two basic reasons. Now, I want to tell you this evening, friend, persecution could not move him. Amen? Now, listen, let me tell you what persecution was to Paul. It wasn't just somebody, you know, when that thing came up a couple of months ago about the UFOs and all that, and people, some of you people right here got squeamish. And people said, well, they talk about it at work and make jokes about our church, and I just don't know if I... Oh, what are you going to do when it gets bad? Hey, you know what they done to this man? Do you know what they done to this man? They took him out and stoned him. They beat his head in with rocks. Now, how many of you have ever come in that door on Sunday morning with blood all over your face? And bones broke where the people out here in the town had took you out down in Glenwood somewhere or up here in North Cove and throwed big old rocks because you live for God. Now what was that? You know, somebody said something at work and you was about ready to quit. Persecution could not move him. I tell you, I ain't never had my brains beat out with rocks. I mean, I've had people threaten to kill me. And stuff, but a threat, you know, at it. One time, I was preaching that trailer one day, and a long time ago, and I was on top of the van. And I was like this, you know, and I was preaching away, and I got through preaching, And I looked down, and there's a fella, big old mean looking guy, had on boots, you know, and he pulled on his boot like that and put his foot up there, and he pulled out a knife about that long. Really, I mean a big old hunting knife, and he started sharpening on his boot like that. And I was up here and I thought, what's he doing sharpening his boot on that? And he backed off and I got down like this, and there's several of them gathered around. Enjoy that preacher, enjoy that preacher. And I went like that, shook her hand, and I stuck my hand up to that guy, and he looked at me, buddy, and he said, you better be glad you hushed when you did. And I said, whew. I went over here and shook somebody else's hand, shook somebody, and buddy, he started running his mouth and saying, if there's anything I can't stand, it's you preachers and all that. And you remember? I don't know if y'all remember or not, but the next Saturday, Brother Gene Googe, some of them went down there, and the same guy grabbed Brother Gene and held the knife to him, and somebody had to pull him off. And buddy, he hated preachers. He hated preachers. That was one that I thought got behind me and Nebo one night and chased me, and I believe it was Jerry Carswell, wasn't it? And got behind him, and Jerry got something, was going to go beat his head in with it. And we was chasing each other all over Nebo. But that ain't no big deal. I mean, that fellow never touched me. Persecution. They beat his head in with rocks. And most preachers believe they killed him. He died. Now, you ever had that happen to you? Well, you just said, well, at work, they all went to a party and didn't even ask me. Well, praise God, man. Thank God. If you're going to quit on that, what are you going to do when it really gets bad? They talked about him like a dog, and they went right on and served him anyway. Carrie was in a place here not long, well, it's been a couple of years ago now. My daughter right there, and she was in this place. These two old ladies sitting there. They're sitting there like this. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just don't know about that church. And I heard, and you know what I heard? I heard that he got all them people's money, and he took all their money, and now they're sick and hungry, and he won't even feed them. And he won't give them nothing. And boy, they're just talking about me and talking about our church. And she sat there and sat there and sat there. And finally, she spoke up. And she said, that's my daddy. You know, the preacher you're talking about, that's my daddy. And she said, I thank God she had enough guts to do that. Amen? Hey, she's been hollered at in a Pizza Hut parking lot, man. And she's a girl! And some of you guys can't take a little... I mean, you wouldn't believe what they said to her. Oh, I heard you was Danny Castle's daughter! And said bad things and what's been said right out here in a parking lot in her presence. Would make a lot of people quit church. And she said, I heard, she said, I'm his daughter. She said, them two old ladies just changed their teeth. She said, oh, is that right? Well, we've been thinking about coming and visiting there sometime. Yeah, sure. No hypocrites. Persecution could not move him. Amen. Number three, problems could not move him. You say, preacher, I got a lot of problems. Well, join the crowd, son. Sufferings. He had suffering. That's sometimes how God speaks to us. Did you know if you suffer and it makes you repent and get right with God, that is a good thing for you. If you get sick and it draws you close to God or a trip to the hospital or whatever, hallelujah, amen. You ought to thank God if it draws you closer to Jesus. Suffering can be a good thing because it makes us get right. Amen. I tell you what, brother, he was stoned at Lystra and left for dead. He was separated from family and friends. But he said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. I was preaching a little bit this morning about those that have been deserted by husband or wife going through a separation or a divorce. But I'll tell you, talk about some pain or the pain that can cause in a person's heart. And you think, oh Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's suffering. It's suffering physically. I mean, just like you've been beat with something or shot with a gun. That just feels like that in your stomach and in your heart. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, what you need to do when you suffer is just say, hey, I've got a problem, but I am not going to let my problem move me. Now, Job had a problem, a bunch of problems. Job had 10 kids laid out at one time in the funeral home. 10 caskets, brother, and buried every one of his young'uns all in one day and lost 10 of them. I've heard people say, well, I was trying to serve God and he took my child. Oh, listen, buddy. Listen, if your child went to heaven, thank God it's better off than you are.
Amen.
Amen. It don't have to live in this old sin-cursed world. We ought to shout and say, hallelujah. God needed it more than I did. It's up there in heaven. I've got more in heaven now than I have down here and I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Job had 10 kids laid out there. And he lost his cattle and his sheep and his out near barns. He lost everything he had but his wife. And he'd have been a whole lot better off if he'd lost her. A whole lot. She told him his breath stunk and to cuss God and die. What a helpmeet. Job said, honey, he had boils all over. Honey, I mean, can you get me something to drink? Shoo, your breath stinks, Job. Same demon that's in some of you ladies. What about that one guy? He's going down the road. His wife's in the back sleep, you know, and everything. Finally, the cop stopped him and said, hey, man, your wife fell out back there about a half a mile. He said, praise the Lord. He said, for a second, I thought I was going deaf. Oh, that's bad, ain't it? That's bad. That's bad. That's the way Job was. That's the way Job was, man. He'd have been better off if he'd have died. You know, I've always wondered why the good people die and mean ones stay just seem like they never die. Problems could not move him. My. Sorrows could not move him. He had marks on his body. He could show you scars on his body. He said, that right there is what I've got. Can anybody in here got a scar? Anybody in here got a scar on your body that you've suffered for Jesus? Now, what was that you was whining about yesterday and you just couldn't hardly make it tonight? You know, and you was tired and somebody talked, you heard somebody criticize our church and it just made you want to give up and change. And what was that? What was that now? Where's your scars, man? Where's your scars? Good night. What are we talking about? Paul said problems could not move him. Anybody ever been out to get you? I had a lady call me one night in the middle of the night and she said, about 3 o'clock in the morning, she said, if you ever say what you did about my mother again, I'm going to kill you and cuss me and say that she's going to kill me. I don't know who it was. Don't know who her mother was. I have no idea what in the world she's talking about. It'd be like if I was preaching here tonight and I preach on something and somebody goes, don't you ever say nothing. Well, I mean, you know, the guilty dog. I wouldn't tell nobody if I was the one that done it in here tonight. You're like that fellow that said years and years ago they had a chicken thief in the community. And there's somebody stealing chickens and they couldn't figure out who it was. And preacher come to church on Saturday night and have everybody in the community in there. He said, what? There's a chicken thief in here tonight. He said, the sheriff can't find them and the posse can't find them. I'm going to tell you who it is tonight. The Lord's going to reveal to us who the chicken thief is. He said it right here. Took a big rock, put it on the pulpit. He said, in just a minute, the Lord's going to reveal who the chicken thief is and I'm going to take that rock and bust him in the head with it. He said he took off preaching, and he took off preaching, and he preached, and he got faster and faster and faster. And he said, oh no! God will show us who the chicken thief is. And he grabbed that rock and ran back, and one fella just ducked like that. He gave himself away. That's what a lot of people do. I'll tell you one thing, you better not never preach about that. Well, what's the matter? Was it you? I mean, you guilty? You know, Daddy used to have old dogs, old hound dogs, and old hound, blue tick hounds. You know what a blue tick is? And old coon dogs. You know what? And it, you know them stupid things? They'd lay down there in the driveway and just go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Sound like country music TV, huh? So there's a, oh, that's what I do. I say them stupid things. Shut up! Sometimes you wouldn't hear them. That don't mean they're asleep. They're out hunting. If they wasn't barking, they're gone hunting. If they was tied up, they're barking. Stupid things can bark for 8 hours. Never hush. Now if there's an old pile of dogs laying down there in the driveway, and let's say I get mad, come out of the house, and I grab me a half a brick about that big, and I ride back and slam it like that down there, and I hear one go, you know which one done that, don't you? The one that the rock hit. Now, you see these people, when the preacher gets through, they leave the church. They're home, get on the telephone. I don't like what he said. He had no right. What's the matter now, man? Did you get hit? Guilty dog always barks. Hey, problem. Don't let a few problems move you. One time I had, you remember when I had that Toyota Camry, the one I got from Brother Mike, a 1988 Toyota Camry. Wasn't that what year that thing was? 88, that little light blue one. That thing wasn't but 1 year old. One morning, back when my sister was sick with cancer, I took my mom up on Buck Creek to visit my sister. Y'all know, all everybody here knows the Highway 80 up Buck Creek. You people here, oh Lord. I mean, it's just like you followed a black snake up through there. It's just like this. All the way up, goes all the way up to the Carolina Hemlock up there, you know, and then on the Blue Ridge Parkway. You know that road. So I took mom up there to visit my sister. And I noticed that I was coming through town, my brakes didn't feel right. And I kind of messed up. I thought, ooh, but I wasn't going to say nothing to mom. You know how she is. She would have had a heart attack right there. I mean, she can't stand to ride with me anyway. Every time she rides me, Danny, you're going too fast. You're too close on that car now. You're too close. I mean, as old as I am, she still asks me every day, did you eat anything? Now you better make sure you eat, son. Mom, I know I'm supposed to eat. I started that a long time ago. But she, does your mother do you like that? She still talks to me like I was 10 years old. She's not here tonight. She's sick today. But she can't stand around. Kiss puts her foot on the her side. You know, she's on the other side. And she's mashing the floor trying to put the brakes on. Daddy said one time they went to Kentucky when the kids were real young. And he let mom drive. And he'd always get mad because he'd go to sleep on the other side. And he said that she'd drive for hours and hours and not get 25 or 30 miles. And Daddy said she'd stop and get out, run around and go around and look around every curve before she'd drive around. He said that. But she's not that bad. But, buddy, she don't like fast driving, I can tell you. She don't like fast driving. And I can't stand to go slow. I can't stand it. If somebody passes me on the interstate, I bow my head and ask forgiveness and floor it. I say, I can't stand. I say, God, they're doing better than I am. I'm wasting my life. Let's go. That's the truth. That's the truth. I don't ask forgiveness, but I do go. But anyway, I got thrown up through there. My brakes felt weaker and weaker. We got up there on the mountain. I said, well, I ain't going to say nothing because mom, she's scared of this mountain anyway. Well, we got in the car, and some time we started down that mountain, I didn't have no brakes. None. You pushed them to the floor coming down Buck Creek Mountain. And I pushed some things down, no brakes. Well, I didn't say nothing to mom, and I put it in second gear, you know, and just let the gears slow it down coming down the mountain. We got down here to that little store out there in PG where the little Sienna is, a little like a little convenience store there. And I said, I'm going to pull in here a minute, Mom. I might need some brake fluid. She said, what's wrong with your brakes? I said, well, I might need a little brake fluid in. I got some put in there. The time we got to town, didn't have no brakes. She said, Dennis, your brakes all right? I said, well, not really. They're a little weak. And I took her home, took it up here to a mechanic. And I said, something's wrong with my brake. This is a Toyota, man. You understand that? They don't rattle until they're 100,000 miles on. And I went back a few hours later, and that guy, I said, did you get them fixed? He said, yeah, I got them fixed right at your left, preacher.
And I said, really, what was it? I'm interested to know. This thing's under warranty probably. You know, I said, what was it? He said, you really want me to tell you the truth? I said, why, yeah, what was it? He said, you got anybody that don't like you? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. He said, somebody's trying to get you hurt. So they've took your brake lines loose. And I said, you sure it didn't just maybe jar, you know, jar loose? And he said, uh-uh, on both ends, you know, on a Toyota, both jar loose at the same time. He said, no way. He said, that don't happen. He said, somebody's took your brake lines loose hoping you'd have a wreck. Right out in my driveway while I was asleep. I thought, and I began to wonder now. You know, my mind's always clicking. Who's that? Who's that? And I figured out we have had one other little thing happen, but I can't tell you what that was. And I began to think, somebody doing a little persecution there. And then I got to thinking, as long as I've lived for the Lord, that ain't nothing. We don't know what persecution is. We really don't. What if it really got bad? What if you knew? I mean, you could lose your job if you do right and serve God. That has happened to people. I'm telling you, I read about a girl from Malaysia on the mission field. She went to a revival somewhere in Texas, I think it was. And brother, they said she'd be disowned if she got saved. She got saved. A Jewish girl, a girl got saved. She wrote and told her family. Her family wrote and told her, never come here. You're dead as far as we're concerned. Her family said, you're dead. You don't belong here. We don't want you to be here. You're dead as far as we're concerned. We had your funeral. That's what they told her. We had your funeral. Problems could not move. Then I want to say this, and I'll be through. Powers could not move him. You think there ain't powers working against you? Buddy, that's a whole sermon right there. You know, you may not believe this, but there are literal forces. I believe this world eat up with demons. There's demonic forces and powers. It's evident. You seen that rock video thing I did? I did it out there in Colorado the other night. I had 11 people saved, and I showed them the rock. And I mean to tell you, I saw this one guy. This one guy had hair down to here, and he had a Metallica jacket on. And I was going out, and I said, hey, you ever heard of Marilyn Manson? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, that shows your ignorance. Boy, he looked at me. Because I couldn't stand the way he did that. I said, that ain't nothing to brag about. And buddy, you just see the demons beginning to squirm. When I put that music on, you can see those kids, they don't even know what to do with themselves. They just start squirming, moving, powers. I've told you some of the things that's happened to me, and like some of this stuff the devil's interested in electricity. The devil interferes with electricity. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as what? Lightning from heaven. And there's no doubt about it. He messes with the powers of the air. That's what the Bible says. I was preaching in a little church over in Natahala one night. You've heard me tell it. It's truth. Don't ask me to explain it. I'm just telling you what happened. I was preaching in a little church. And boy, I was getting down on the deacons running the church, you know. I'll tell you what I was talking about. I was talking about these churches that have preacher elections. And I said, voting on the preacher every year, see whether they're going to keep him or not. I said, that's awful. I can't believe a church would do that. That's wicked. And I noticed they was all just looking at me. Old deacon sitting on the front row. I was walking across here and I said, y'all don't do that here, do you? He said, yep. And I just said, well, you ought not to. Amen. And I just kept right on preaching. I wasn't going to say I'm sorry, you know. And you know what? I was preaching hard. And you know what? There's a ceiling, little church, low ceiling. Ceiling wasn't much higher than that microphone right there. And there was a ceiling fan right over top of the preacher, spinning like this. And that thing stopped. And a funny smell come out of it, and it started going back around the other way. And the controls over here on the back wall behind me. Now, you ever seen that before? That's the truth. That happened. And the preacher got up, and they said, I didn't smell anything. People said, the preacher got up after I got through, and he said, how many of y'all seen that fan? You know, I preached for years that when the devil gets in something, it goes backwards. You know my message on the course of this world? I've always told y'all that. The devil makes things run backwards. That's why there's back masking and backward message. Aleister Crowley, in his book on black magic and Satanism, said you need to walk, speak, talk, watch movies backwards, do everything backwards if you want to get in touch with the devil. Because God says go this way, the devil says go this way. You know what I've done one day? We got people here can verify this. In Kentucky, I was preaching that rock music message. I had my tape in a cassette deck like this. 3/4 of the way. Yeah, have you ever heard this saying? Have you ever heard this saying, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil? That's the truth, buddy. The more God's power is in a church and in a service, the more the devil will be right there fighting. When the weather gets warm, the snakes start crawling. When God starts moving, you watch the devil stick his face in there. And 3/4 of the way, God was all over that place. God was all over that place. How many of us were there that day, the school that day? Raise your hand. There's a gang of them here. And you know what? That tape stopped and would not play. Would not play. I put it on pause, put it on fast forward, stopped it, put it on play. While I was preaching the whole time. And I put the tape out like this and beat it like this, twist it like this, put it back in, put it, still wouldn't play. Pull it out, beat it, done everything I could do. Couldn't get that thing to play. I pulled it out, put it in the other side, it's dual cassette. Put it in the other side, mice play, nothing. Stop, wouldn't even move. I was 3/4 of the way through the message. And the tape and the slides, they in sync, you know, you're all supposed to end at the same time. When I'm doing one of them things, I'm preaching, but I'm also keeping the music and the pictures together. And you can't get messed up. You got to keep them right together. And I didn't know. I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And I just preached as hard as I could and showed some more pictures and gave an invitation. And God moved in there and the power of God went all over the place. I mean, we had, I don't know how many got saved that day and that week. And that was a great revival. And I was curious and took that thing back up to my room and stuck that tape in there and played just perfect, just easy, no problem at all. That's the truth. That's the truth. You say, "What? I don't claim to know all of what happens there, but I do know this. I do know this. Do you know what I've had happen to me? Guarantee you, this preacher can tell you the same thing. Anybody? I have been sitting, getting ready to preach, and right before I get up to preach, just all of a sudden, I'm reminded of some wicked, wicked sin I committed a long, long time ago, or something. I mean, just hit me in the face." And just right out of the clear blue, you can say you're saved and right with God on doomsday, brother. But a woman that's right with God don't act like that. You're letting demons mess with you, honey. You men that come in and say, hateful to your wife, kick back and say, "Oh, you take your kids and go on, I don't care." That's powers messing with you, bud. That's powers, and you don't realize it. Powers could not move him. I'll tell you something about this Christian life, and I'm through. They can come on and get us a song. The Christian life, you hardly ever feel like doing what you ought to do. You just got to do it anyway. And that's the bottom line. Jesus looked at his disciples in John 6, 6, 6. John 6, 66. And said, "Will ye also go away? You guys going to quit too?" And they said, "Lord, who are we going to go to? You have the words of eternal life. We're sticking in here. Let's be like Paul, the man that nothing could move." Let's stand.